In the dark night, Bochirin's pupils instantly shrank to two extremely small dots. His voice trembled. "It's you?" White, no face. The hairs on Shirin's neck rose, and he leapt to his feet, grabbing for his sword. But there was nothing, and only then did he remember he pawned all of his swords. Even that branch he took for a weapon earlier was broken, which meant he was facing this creature with neither spiritual power nor weapons. A few years ago, when Shin Le fell, White No Face disappeared from the world. Shirin never bothered to search for him and never thought of searching for him, only praying that he would just so soundlessly never appear again. Yet who knew this creature would suddenly appear before him? That white-clothed figure approached languidly. Shirin felt a sudden chill and couldn't help but back away a couple of steps. Yet he immediately snapped to. No backing away. Even fleeing was pointless. He cried sharply, "What do you want?" White No Face didn't answer and continued to come closer with his hands at his sides. Shirin was shaking from his feet to his hands, and even the white puffs of air from his lips seemed to be trembling. He forced himself to recall the jeers, the indifference, and the mocking laughter of those 30-something heavenly officials, and Mu Qing, who'd turned his face away. All of a sudden, he forgot his fear as he shouted and struck with a hand chop. However, before that hand even chopped, there was an excruciating pain. The other party had actually predicted Shirin's move and was a step faster, flashing behind his back and kicking the hollow of his knee. Too fast. Shirin's knees dropped heavily to the ground, and only then did a terrifying thought enter his mind. The movement of this creature was faster than he had thought. The next moment, Shirin felt something even more horrifying. A cold hand, with its fingers stretched open, was pressed over his skull. He started to scream. That hand had only used a bit of strength, and Shilin's entire body was pulled up by the head. Shirin had no doubt that based on this creature's strength, should his fingers curl in, they would easily smash his skull, and his head would instantly turn into smeared bloody flesh, smushed between bones. He had also no doubt that the next thing White No Face planned to do was exactly that. Shirin breathed harshly, thinking he was dead for sure, and squeezed his eyes shut. Yet, unexpectedly, that creature had no intention of exerting any more force, and instead it withdrew its murderous intent and softly sighed. That sound of his soft sigh lasted for a while, and the other party showed no sign of moving. In the dead silence, Shirin reopened his eyes, little by little. Ghost fires filled the air, and they were dancing in wild joy. Each of the balls of flames were watching the show, cackling as the spirits of the deceased laughed. However, most of the ghost fires seemed to have been stunned by something, not daring to approach the two. A ball of ghost fire with flames that were abnormally bright was hanging above them, using its own flames to attack the one behind Shirin again and again. No one could tell what it was doing, but no matter how one looked at it, it was like an insect fighting a tree. Then, Shirin's body abruptly froze. White No Face had hugged him. Shirin knelt in a slump while he was encircled by a pair of cold but powerful arms and pulled into a lifeless embrace. Without knowing when, White No Face had also sat down with him. He murmured, "So sad. So sad. Your Highness, look at yourself. Look at what they've done to you." He murmured softly as he caressed Shilin's head, his hands gentle and merciful, like he was petting a wounded puppy, or his child who was about to pass away from severe illness. Under the moonlight, the smiling face of that cry smiling mask was hidden in the darkness, revealing only the half that was crying, seeming like it was genuinely shedding tears of grief for Shirin. Through his gesture, Shilin actually felt a peculiar kind of loving compassion, just as if he was in the embrace of his best friend or a familiar family member. His shivering body miraculously became warmer. He had never thought that in such a state, the one who would give him compassion and warmth would be the strange creature. From deep in Shilin's throat, there came waves of suppressed sobs, shaking harder and harder. That ball of ghost fire flew to his heart, looking as if it wanted to warm him. But it wasn't confident that it could help chase away the cold, so it didn't press close. White No Face helped clean the mud off his person and beckoned. "Come to my side." I. Shilin's voice trembled. Before he finished his words, his hand suddenly flashed out and went straight for White No Face's mask. His attack was successful, and that mask was smacked high into the air. Shilin himself had leapt and flipped 2 meters away, the terror from earlier completely gone. He said darkly in rage, "Who's going to your side? You monster." That tragically pale, cry-smiling mask fell to the ground, and all the ghost fires in the air seemed to be stupefied. They suddenly lost order, dancing madly without stopping, shrieking without a sound. White No Face, on the other hand, covered his face and started chuckling softly. That laugh was making all of Shilin's hair stand. "What are you laughing about?" White No Face humphed softly. "You will come to my side one day." His tone was confident. Shilin didn't understand what he meant and said in disbelief, "What side is your side? You destroyed Shinla and you still want me to go over to your side? Are you crazy? I think you're sick in the head." He didn't know how to curse at others, and even in extreme rage, he only knew how to say those words. Otherwise, he would have used the world's most vicious, most vengeful words to curse that creature. White No Face laughed out loud, and with his hand covering his face, he held his head tall. "You will come. In this world, no one but me will truly understand you, and no one but me will forever stay by your side." Shilin felt chills and still tried to argue. "Get out of here. Enough with your arrogant nonsense. How could there be no one just because you said so?" A ball of ghost fire flew to his side and moved up and down, like it was nodding in agreement. However, wicked wisps like it were all around, so Shilin didn't notice this particular one. Before him, White No Face said warmly, "Oh, is there someone? Maybe there were people in the past, but do you think they'd still be here from now on?" Shilin demanded, "What do you mean? What are you hinting at?" White No Face didn't answer and only sneered and turned around, looking like he was about to drift away. He said softly, "I will wait for you here, Your Highness." As if Shilin would let him go just like that. "Wait, don't go. What did you do to them? Did you touch my parents and Feng Xin?" He chased after him, reaching his arms out to grab at the silhouette of that white-clothed man. Yet unexpectedly, the other party lightly swept his sleeve and grabbed a ball of ghost fire. He didn't particularly aim to attack Shilin, but Shilin sensed a horrifying force coming at him, and his entire person was thrown high into the air, slamming against a tree. There was a large crack, and that giant tree, with the width of 2 grown men, split and fell by this collision. If this was before, then Shilin wouldn't even frown if he should break 10 trees. However, his body was mortal right now, and with such a crash, it was like his bones fell apart and he fell heavily to the ground, losing consciousness. The final moment, as his eyes closed, Shilin seemed to have seen that white-clothed figure reach out a hand. He held within his palm a blazing ghost fire. He chuckled. "Spirit, tell me, what is your name? How interesting." When he came to, everything was gone. Shirin was covered with the astringents of blood from his chest to his mouth, and his head spun for a good while before he suddenly stumbled to crawl up. He muttered, "Father, mother, Fengxin." He remembered everything that had happened before he passed out and didn't dare to waste a single second. He ran like mad for tens of miles, and finally, 20 or so days after he left with the satchel on his back, he returned to the king and the others' hiding place in the deep night. Shirin was panicking the entire way, extremely anxious, scared that White No Face had already done something to his friend and family. The moment he returned to that dilapidated cottage, he shoved the door open and blurted out, before even catching his breath, "Father, mother, Fengxin." Thank goodness, the house didn't look as tragic as he had imagined, and nothing was out of place either, still looking exactly the same as when he had left. Shirin had run madly with his body covered in injuries, his throat so dry it was going to smoke. He relaxed a little, and only then did he swallow before continuing deeper into the house. "Fengxin, where are you guys?" He pushed the door open and his voice died in his throat. Fengxin was inside, and when he saw Shirin had come back, he exclaimed in amazement, "Your Highness, why are you back?" However, Shirin wasn't looking at him, but was staring intently at the one facing Fengxin. Before Fengxin stood a black-clad man. It was Mu Qing. Mu Qing turned his head back and saw Shirin. He pressed his lips, looking grim. Fengxin went around him and came over to greet Shirin. "Didn't you go to train? How was it? I thought you'd be gone for at least several months. Did you come back so soon because you've made excellent progress?" Shirin stared at Mu Qing. "Where's father and mother?" "Sleeping in the room. They've already gone to rest," Fengxin said. "Why are your clothes so dirty? What's with the cuts on your face? Who fought with you?" Shirin didn't answer. Only when he heard his parents were fine did he completely relax, and he turned to Mu Qing. "Why are you here?" Mu Qing didn't speak, and Fengxin replied for him. "He came to deliver something." "What?" Shirin questioned. Mu Qing raised his hand lightly, pointing to the side. What he was pointing at were several clean sacks, probably with rice or grain in them. Seeing Shirin so quiet, Mu Qing said softly, "I heard you need medicine. I'll think of a way to get some later." "All right," Fengxin said. "I'll say my thanks then. We do need all the stuff right now. Heavenly officials can't gift mortals things in private, so you be careful too." Then he shuffled to Shirin's side and whispered, "I'm pretty surprised too, that he'd actually come back to help. I'm the one who judged him wrong, in any case." However, Shirin suddenly spoke up, "Don't need it." Mu Qing's expression turned ashen for a moment, and he clenched his fists. Fengxin was puzzled. "What don't we need?" Shirin enunciated slowly, "I don't need your help. I also don't want any of your stuff. Please leave." When he heard the words "please leave," Mu Qing's face became even more ashen. Fengxin also noticed something was wrong and asked, "Just what is going on?" Mu Qing bowed his head. "I'm sorry." Having known Mu Qing for so many years, this was the first time they heard him say those words, and it was also the first time he apologized genuinely. But Shirin had no more mind to be surprised. "Please leave. Please leave." He was still unable to control his emotions, and he grabbed those sacks and started throwing them at Mu Qing. White rice spilled to the ground, and Mu Qing was thrown into a distraught state. He only raised an arm to block, but still held back. Fengxin held Shirin down and was alarmed. "Your Highness, what's going on? What did he do? Didn't you go to cultivate? Just what exactly happened?" Having been held down, Shirin said with red eyes, Why don't you ask him? I did go train, but ask him just why I've returned. It was too noisy outside. They were making too much noise, and the queen, who was sleeping in the back rooms, was shaken awake. She emerged after pulling on an outer robe. My son, have you returned? What's happened to you? Fengxing quickly said, Nothing, your majesty. Please go back in. Then he forcefully pushed her back and closed the door. Then he demanded, What did you do? Mucheng, just what exactly did you do? Your highness, did the cuts on your face come from him? Xilin's breathing was growing harsher and more turbulent, and he couldn't force a word out. Mucheng exclaimed, It wasn't me. I didn't hit his highness. I only asked him to leave. Other than that, I didn't say anything harsh, and I didn't move against him either. They were determined to take over that spiritual land, and under those circumstances, if he didn't leave, nothing would end. You... After having exchanged so many words, Fengxing finally got the gist of what had transpired. He widened his eyes and pointed at Mucheng, unable to speak. A moment later, he bent down and grabbed a sack and flung it over, roaring, Scram! Scram, scram, scram! Mucheng was hit in the face by the sacks of rice he brought and backed two steps away. All three of them in the house were panting harshly. Fengxing cried, I was wondering why you suddenly had a change of heart. I can't fucking believe this. Holy shit. Don't let me see you ever again. Mucheng exclaimed with a cracked voice. Yes, I was wrong. I admit it, and I apologize. But I wanted to solve all the current problems first before we think about anything else. Your parents and my mother, the three of us, who knows how long we'd have to struggle in the mud. If I went back first, maybe there'd still be a chance. Fengxing cursed. All fucking bullshit. Stop your bullshit. No one wants to hear your excuses. Scram, 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 scram. Mucheng tried again. If you put yourself in my shoes. But Fengxing cut him off. I told you to stop your bullshit. I'm not listening. I just know that even in your shoes, I wouldn't have done the same thing as you. No need to put myself in your shoes. Because you're nothing more than a traitor. Mucheng's face was now green, and he took a step forward. When his highness was in a tight spot, wasn't he forced to commit robbery too? Why, when it comes to me, you can't accept it. Fengxing spat. Huh? Robbery? Who committed robbery? His highness committed robbery? What shit talk are you fucking saying? Xilin stopped breathing. Watching Fengxing's raging face gradually changing to shock, Mucheng finally realized something was wrong, and he turned hesitatingly to Xilin. You didn't. He had never expected that Xilin hadn't told Fengxing about that incident. Xilin screamed. He had gone mad, and he grabbed a random object with his hand and started chasing Mucheng out. Mucheng also realized that he might have screwed up, and he didn't dare to speak, even after being hit a few times. Yet when he ran out the door and looked back, the thing Xilin was using to chase him out was actually a broom, and his face instantly darkened. Do you have to taunt me like this? Xilin cried brokenly, Get out of here! Xilin's swung fist blew out sharp gales, and Mucheng was hit, barely dodging the brunt of the attack, a thin bloody cut appearing on his cheek. He reached out and touched the cut, looked at the blood on his hand, his expression unreadable. Fine, I'm leaving. Xilin was shaking all over and he was bent over deeply at the waist. Mucheng took a few steps forward and still placed the rice sacks on the ground in the end. I'm really leaving. Xilin whipped his head up. When Mucheng saw his eyes, he swallowed. Not hanging around any longer, he swept his sleeves and left. Only then did the thoroughly stunned Fengxing come running out. Your Highness, he's fucking lying, right? What robbery? Xilin covered his forehead. Don't ask anymore. Please, Fengxing, I beg you to please don't ask anymore. No, of course I don't believe it, Fengxin said. I just want to know what really happened. Xilin screamed and covered his ears, escaping back into the cottage. He locked himself in his room. Fengxin was completely convinced that he would never do such a thing, but that was precisely why this had become the worst-case scenario. Xilin wanted to just run away, escape to somewhere where no one knew him. But when he remembered what White No Face had said, he didn't dare go too far either, and could only shut himself up inside the room. No matter how Fengxin and the queen called for him, he'd refuse to emerge. It took 2 days before Xilin felt calmer, and when Fengxin came to knock again, he silently opened the door. Fengxin was holding a plate and stood there. Her Majesty made you this during the day today, and exhorted that I'd absolutely bring this to you. The things on that plate were something green and purple, a horrifying sight. Fengxin continued, if your highness thinks your life will be in danger, I can finish this for you. I won't tell Her Majesty. Xilin could tell that Fengxin still really wanted to prod and ask what the robbery was about, but was also scared that Xilin might lock himself up again, and so he forced it down and pretended that the incident never happened and that there was nothing to question, pretending to be at ease. However, he wasn't good at joking, and the jokes he made were all dry, making things even more awkward. To be honest, the taste of his mother's cooking really was quite terrifying, and the more times she entered the kitchen, the more effort she put in, the more astray the path of her progress. Xilin had also never cooked, but the meals he made didn't taste too bad. It seemed it could only be explained by way of natural talent. Nevertheless, Xilin still took the plate and sat by the table to eat it honestly. Either way, he couldn't taste whatever he ate now. At least there was one consoling thing in all of this. While he was sure he was done for, and the king had overheard that night, based on how things were the past few days, it didn't look like the king and the queen knew about his robbery incident. Otherwise, with the king's temperament, he would have started yelling at him already. Fengxin would never tell them either, so Xilin could relax for now. As he was thinking this, Fengxin suddenly rose to his feet, and Xilin snapped out of it. What are you doing? Fengxin grabbed his bow and said, it's time for me to go basking. Xilin stood up too. I'll go with you. After a moment of hesitation, Fengxin said, forget it. You just rest a bit more. Although Fengxin didn't ask any more questions, Xilin was still feeling uncomfortable all over. As if now that Fengxin had learned such a thing, there was something between them that could never go back. Every word and every look Fengxin gave him seemed to have taken on a different meaning, worthy of deeper interpretation. Xilin shook his head and sighed. Let me be honest with you. I don't have the mind to cultivate right now. Fengxin had also expected this, and he bowed his head, not knowing what to say. Xilin continued, so if that's the case, instead of rotting inside the house, I might as well go busk too, so I could at least earn some money. So at least I'm not. At least he wouldn't be an invalid. Yet for some reason, he couldn't bring himself to say the last 2 words. Perhaps it was because he really felt like he was already an invalid, so he didn't dare to reveal it so easily. Fengxin was still a little worried. I can do it on my own too. Your Highness, you've only had one meal in the past 2 days. So why don't you rest for a few more days? The more he insisted, the more Xilin was anxious to prove himself, and he turned to look in the mirror. It's fine. I'll just clean myself up and... He was going to tidy himself up at first, so he at least wouldn't look like a disheveled, crazy beggar. Yet unexpectedly, he saw an exceedingly horrifying image reflected in the mirror. The him in the mirror didn't have a face, because in his reflection, what was on his face was a half-crying, half-smiling mosque.